We're going to talk today about the universal challenge of not accepting our bodies. So all of us, I'm sure in some way in our life, probably even now, in some way we're dissatisfied with the way we look. We might be self-conscious about our size, our shape, maybe our appearance. A lot of us have been made fun of for the way we look, and sometimes even when we're not made fun of, we are aware of certain things on our body, certain parts of our body. We don't want anyone to see those imperfections. And priests have this exact same problem too, self-consciousness, self-awareness of our imperfections. I don't talk about this. We'll save it for another time. Related to this topic of not accepting our bodies is a bigger topic of transgender issues. So I want to situate this topic within this larger context. We're not going to deal with the whole thing today, just partially. And I want to do it in a respectful way. Don't want to hurt anyone. I want to seek the truth. There's something that's very interesting that happened in the preparation for this homily. I send the draft out to get a lot of feedback. And it's really interesting that this, a lot of the information here, a lot of the truths here, brought up a lot of experiences in people's hearts. So they started writing back, giving me their feedback. But I'd ask all of you, because they'll probably do the same thing for you, I'd ask you to pay attention to, well, what am I saying? What am I not saying? And then what is coming up in you? Because you want to pay attention to that, but just be aware that you might think of things that I'm not addressing here. So the goal today, when we're thinking about, okay, we're not accepting our bodies, the goal today is freedom. Freedom in Jesus, freedom to accept our bodies the way we look, and then freedom to accept the human body, male and female, in general. Jesus says in the gospel, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." So being dissatisfied with the way we look with our bodies, that is a burden Jesus doesn't want us to carry. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Okay, so what we want to do today is we want to approach the human body the way Jesus does. We want to learn from his perspective. "For I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls." So God wants us to be at peace, to even rejoice in our bodies. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The reason why we're focused on Jesus talking about freedom today, but the reason why we're focused on the body is because the first reading has a lot of themes of masculinity, femininity, and of marriage. And the first reading is always chosen specifically in the liturgy, is chosen to match the gospel. So there's a union there. Now, in the first reading, God says to the people, Jerusalem, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem." By the way, Zion is just another name for Jerusalem. So if you ever wonder what Zion is, it's just another name for Jerusalem. Now, why does God want them to rejoice? Because it says, "Your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey." Now, this king is not just a king, it's actually a husband. And then Dr. John Bergsma, the scripture scholar, says that they use the name daughter Jerusalem, daughter Zion, because the people, they're symbolic of one of the royal virgin daughters of a marriageable age, a young woman of wealth and royal birth at the prime of her life and beauty. So what do you have here? You have a celebration of marriage in the first reading. You see this masculinity, femininity, and therefore this acceptance of the human body as male and female. I remember seeing a young lady I know, and she just had plastic surgery to improve her appearance. And one thing I noticed right after she got the surgery, she was just as self-conscious after as she was before. And I remember thinking, it's so sad, so tragic. It feels so badly for her. The problem wasn't with her body. There's a wound in her heart that hasn't yet been healed, and the plastic surgery couldn't heal that wound. Jason Everett, he's a speaker on theology of the body, tells this wonderful story about a surgeon, and the surgeon wrote this incident down in his journal. What had happened is the surgeon performed surgery on a young married woman on her face to remove a tumor from her cheek, And during the surgery, he cut one of the muscles. And so half of her face was left paralyzed. And the doctor in his journal, he wrote how amazed he was at the husband. The husband was by the wife's bedside. And the wife asked, "Doctor, will my face always be like this?" And the doctor said, "Yes." And then the wife nodded in acceptance. And then the husband, he smiled and he said with sympathy, but in total sincerity, he said to her, "I like it. It's kind of cute." And then he bent down and he kissed her on the mouth. And the doctor, seeing this incredible love, he wrote, "I hold my breath and let the wonder in." A husband who loves his wife so beautifully, so purely. And deep down, we all know that's how we're supposed to be loved. Unconditionally. That's how we're supposed to love. So the young woman I told you about, she had plastic surgery. If she could experience that kind of love of someone who loves her unconditionally, that would heal the wound. And that's what Jesus wants to offer all of us today, that freedom. That's the point of the story, that freedom, that you can accept yourself and love yourself even with all the imperfections of our body. So there are three truths from the gospel that are going to help us with that freedom. First, the relationship between parents and children. Jesus says in the gospel, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son." And so what we have here is this incredible intimacy between Father and Son, between the dad and his son. And what we want to do for our purposes today is we want to extend that to all parents, that love of all parents towards all of their children. Because if we have that love from our parents, that's going to be the foundation of our acceptance of our bodies. Dr. Richard Fitzgibbons, he's written a lot on gender identity disorder. He says this, "Children are born with a drive to seek love and acceptance from each parent. If this need is met, children develop a positive identification with their masculinity and femininity." Now that acceptance, it doesn't mean accepting our children's sins, accepting their bad moral behavior. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about accepting our kids' weaknesses, because sometimes we parents, we can be unfairly critical of our children's weaknesses. Some of us are aware how sometimes parents, they don't affirm their children. Maybe when we were growing up, we heard or we perceived our parents wanted a child of the opposite sex. Maybe they were dissatisfied with our abilities. We didn't meet their expectations as a boy or a girl. We weren't as strong or beautiful as they wanted. There are some fathers who don't affirm their sons because they're not good at sports. There are some mothers, they're emotionally distant. They're angry, they're critical, and they never bond closely with their daughters. And so Dr. Fitzgibbons writes, "Each parent should regularly compliment their daughter and affirm her goodness as a female that enriches their lives." And fathers affirming their sons' special God-given gifts, and especially for boys who struggle perhaps at sports, he says, by minimizing the importance of sports and masculine identity, it's very important. So all of us to grow and have that freedom, men, young men, we need older men to teach us how to be masculine. And then women need older women to teach them how to be feminine. And then as a whole community, we need men and women. All of us need protective fathers in our lives. All of us need nurturing mothers in our lives that help us grow. Of course, protective and nurturing doesn't mean smothering. I was very blessed when I was a teenager. I went to Life Teen in St. Paul's in Richmond. And I learned a lot about being masculine, truly being masculine, from the older core leaders, a lot of them in their early 20s. And the guys there, they showed me how to be more manly, how to be secure, not being macho, not trying to hide our insecurities, but to be even Christ-like. And then I remember seeing the women are also very feminine. They were beautiful on the inside and on the out. And I remember just as a teen observing the guys and the girls, a lot of them were dating. And it was such a treat, such a beautiful experience to see that interplay.